So he says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and the waters may come again upon Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea." I want you to look over at 12, verse 12. "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it has..." Now, this is what Israel's saying. For it is better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. That's it. That's Israel talking now. That's before they walk across on dry land. "And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see no more." Now, folks, if that don't cause a burden for your friends and family, I don't know what will. Separation's going to be permanent. There's going to be a day of separation for those that are saved and for that are lost. And that separation is going to be permanent. It's going to be forever. Forever. Now look at 15. Verse 30. "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." Now, you don't have to believe what I'm going to tell you right now. I'll leave that up to you. It's what I believe. What I believe. I believe that that day everyone feared and everyone believed. But only a number, a small number, feared with their heart and believed with their heart. And that small number never stopped fearing and never stopped believing. Now, the reason I say that is because in the very next chapter, it says, "And Israel began to murmur against God," against the Lord. To me, that equates to today, folks. We have so many people today who will say with their head that they fear the Lord, who would say with their head that they believe the Lord, not with their heart. And that's not scriptural. Because the Bible says, when you have sought for me with your whole head. Thank you. Your whole heart. Then shall you find me. I believe there was a certain number that never stopped fearing, that never stopped believing. But there was a bunch that day that because of their emotions or because of their circumstances or because of their situation was better, they said, "Oh yeah, we fear the Lord, we believe the Lord." But as soon as the circumstances changed, as soon as the situation changed, bless God, all of a sudden they're murmuring against the Lord. Now that's what I believe. You can believe what you want to. That's what I get from reading that. So he comes on down here and it says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel the song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider have been thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation. My God's, my father's God, I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath cast into the sea. His chosen captains also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Went down like a rock." That's the way I say it. Sunk like a rock. "Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed to pieces the enemy, and in the greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumeth them as stubble." You think he's going to send forth wrath there, and he's not going to send forth wrath later? You say, "Tom, I thought it was in Romans 9. I'm teaching it just as hard as I can. I'm trying to show you why Paul had such a great burden. Remember the burden? He says, I've got this heavy burden on me that is constant. I can't shake it. This sick feeling in my stomach, I can't get rid of it. And I'll tell you the reason I can't get rid of it. Bless God, I've come to the realization that the Word of God's not going to get driven off course. When he says, if you'll come to me, I'll save you. And if you don't come to me, bless God, I'll send you to hell. That is not going to change, folks. I don't care how smooth a preacher gets. I don't care how intelligent they sound, how educated they are. Bless God, this is not going to change. It was Moses' burden. It was Paul's burden. In the Revelation, it's John's burden. Well, where'd they get this burden? Well, from the same one we get our burden from, folks. God had a burden. You say, God had a burden? Why do you think he came down here and did what he did? Why do you think he said, I can't find anybody else to do this? No one else is worthy. I'll have to go do it myself because I love them. My heart is burdened for them. Well, that ought to be your burden too. If God's inside us, folks, we've got his burden. You know the problem is, and I'll start with me. You talk about yourself. I'll talk about me. I'll tell you my problem. I get my eyes too much on this world, Helen. I start listening too much to the things of this world, and all of a sudden my burden gets diminished a little. But as soon as I get in this precious old book, the tears come down, the burden comes back, and I start praying for people and wanting people to get saved because the burden is in here. But if we're never in here, how are we going to have a burden? All we're going to be is depressed. Huh? That's all we'll ever be. Depressed. So then he says, and in thy greatness, thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth them with thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. Pharaoh said, draw your swords. God said, I'll just breathe out of my nose. If you don't believe you read that, that's in there, bless God. Pharaoh said, draw your swords. God said, well, I'll just breathe out of my nose. We'll see which one's better. We'll see who's got more strength here, folks. Who is the Lord? He said. I'll tell you what, right now he knows who the Lord is. He's known who the Lord is for thousands of years. He's in hell right now. That's what I believe. You say, Tom, you said that with a little bit of glee. Well, got what he deserved, far as I'm concerned. You reject God. You stand in the face of God and say, who is the Lord that I should obey him? He sends his son to die for you? Well, you get exactly what you deserve. Exactly. I know y'all won't like me anymore after that, but it's okay. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap. I want you to listen to this now. And the depths were what? How many of you's ever seen water congeal? Huh? How many of you ever made jello? What does it do? You better hope it does. You ain't going to have much jello. Well, here's what the waters did, folks. They congealed there, too. It says it was a wall unto the people of Israel. Hey, the wall was there. And they went through on dry ground. And then here comes Pharaoh. He thinks he's going through on dry ground. Oh, no, no, he's not. No, God didn't tell him go through. He never got orders from God to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He thought, who is the Lord? I'll go in there. I can go right after him. Well, guess what? God says, well, come on in. Just a little farther. Oh, come on, just a little more. What? Just a tad more. And then you know what God did? Huh? He took the wheels off their chariots, NASCAR style.
That's pretty quick, ain't it?
Quicker than that. Yeah. They can do it in 12 seconds. God did it in one.
Not even one, I bet.
Off come the wheels. And you know what they did? They did the same thing that the people in Sodom and Gomorrah did at the door of Lot. God struck them with blindness and they kept going. They kept trying to get in. God took their wheels off and they kept driving those chariots to where the axles dug in. Huh? God dug them in. And then they realized who the Lord was. And they said, let us flee. It's too late. It's too late to flee. They shouldn't have been fleeing out of the Red Sea. They should have been fleeing earlier to the throne of grace. Yeah. So it comes on over here and here's what it says. Verse 11. Who is likened to thee, O Lord? Who is the Lord that I should obey? Well, now it's who is likened to thee, O Lord. Among the gods, who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy hand, the earth swallowed them. Just, that's it. You know, we've so diminished God, folks. Come on, help me. We've so diminished who God is. We've got God as just a friend. We've got God as an old man upstairs. You know, I talk to the old man upstairs. God ain't an old man upstairs. He's God, bless God. We better quit diminishing him too. We're not going to strike fear in anybody. You say, strike fear? You better strike fear. Listen, the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to strike some fear into people, folks, who God is. Pharaoh learned the hard way. I don't want my friends and family to learn the hard way who God is. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou, in thy mercy, hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy. Well, if you don't see a difference, sir, I can't help you. What could Pharaoh have got early? The same mercy that Israel got. But who is the Lord that I should obey him? I know not this Lord. You know, as if I'm a tough guy or I'm a tough gal. I'll throw you ladies in there too. But a split second after you die, folks, you're going to know who God is. You're going to find out this is true, Shirley. Brenda, they're going to find out this is true. God sits on his throne, folks. God is over everything. God created everything. God owes us nothing, but God offers us grace and mercy. You say, Tom, why is this so important? Well, look at Isaiah 48 real quick. I believe that's where it's at. If it's not, I'm moving on. Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48, it's on this side, if I can find it. Okay, Isaiah 48 and 16, here's what it says. No, Isaiah 48 and 10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have, what? Chosen. Selected. Tried. Tested, proven. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. You know, it is said that a person's character is not refined during the good times, but during the bad. Well, if we can say that about human beings, it's certainly true about God's children. We are refined in the affliction. We are refined in the persecutions. How did the church grow? The early church, how did it grow? Through persecution. I mean, the Romans would come in and think, okay, we'll do them in. We'll split them up right down the middle. And this church went that way, and that church went this way. Well, guess what? The gospel went that way, and the gospel went this way, and they built more churches. And through that persecution, the church went. And so he comes on down there and he says, verse 16, come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I, and now the Lord God in his Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Listen, that's who God is. He's not the old man upstairs. And now the Lord God in his Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit and leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. That's who my God is, Duane. He's my Redeemer. He redeemed me. He not only redeemed me, Stacy, he leads me. He guides me. I've not got him by the hand. He's got me by the hand. You know that song, Take My Hand, Precious Lord, and Lead Me On? I like that one. We don't hold on to God. If you're trying to hold on to God, you're in serious trouble. God's holding on to you. He's leading you. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. You say, why is all this important, Tom? Well, you remember how Romans 9 started out? When he says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish myself were accursed don't miss that word accursed, folks. I'm going to paraphrase it for you. And I assure you I'm right. For I could wish myself would go to hell for my brethren. You want to know what his burden was like? That he couldn't get rid of, and that feeling in the pit of his gut. He said, Molly, he said, I'd go to hell for him. If I could, I would. He said, I could wish. That word wish means I pray to God. That's how serious he was. God, send me. Don't send them. Well, he couldn't do that, honey. That's what God did. God says, I'll send my son. I won't send you if you'll believe my son. I told you God had the burden for him, but I had the burden. And then he comes down there. Remember, I told you the key to the whole thing was what? Anybody remember that? It starts out with not. That the word of God. I want you to just stop and close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Now I want you to think about those three words. Word of God. Now you can open your eyes. Was that not the word of God to Pharaoh? Was that not the word of God to the Israelites? Did God fulfill both promises? Just as sure as you're sitting there. Hey, who is the Lord? I'll show you who the Lord is. I'm going to deliver one, and I'm going to destroy the other. It didn't matter about Pharaoh's choice. It didn't matter about Pharaoh's effort. It didn't matter about Israel's choice. It didn't matter about Israel's efforts. It was God's choice. He's God. He'll destroy who he wants to. Bless God, he'll save who he wants to. He's God. He says, not as though the word of God. Now, that's not just, it's not a book. This is the utterances of God. This is what God says. And it says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. Now, I told you what that meant. It means not as though the word of God hath been driven out of its course. The world would like to change the course that the word of God is taking. But they're not going to do it. They can't do it. And he goes on to say, for not all are Israel, which are of Israel. Remember I told you, there was some that believed and feared the Lord, and they continued to believe and fear the Lord. But there was some that said, oh yeah, we fear the Lord and we believe.
And then murmured.
But then all of a sudden things change, circumstances change, and now they're murmuring against God. Against God. How can you imagine that? Can you imagine murmuring against God who just delivered you? 400 years of bondage. He brings you out. He destroys your enemy. And a week later, you're murmuring against him. You know what murmuring means, don't you? Anybody know? In Isaiah 55, here's what it says. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven. Now, how many of you has ever seen rain come down? If you've not, about 1 o'clock this afternoon, just walk outside. You'll see it. How many of you has ever seen snow come down? Well, if you've not, just wait till this winter and go up on the Rhone. You'll see it. For as the rain cometh down and the water from heaven and returneth not thither, it don't go back. It comes down. That it may water the earth. That it may bring forth and bud. That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That's God's ecosystem, folks. I'm not being political now, but you can talk to your blue in the face, and until God changes that ecosystem, it's not going to change. I don't give a rip how green this world goes. You can stop airplanes from flying, cars from going. You can do whatever you want to. You won't change that because God's word does not get driven out of course. God's word is forever settled in heaven. When God says the rain's coming down and the snow from heaven and it's going to water the earth that the earth might bring forth and bud and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, bless God, that's how it is. But no, you got these bunch of fools that think they're going to do something to change that. They're so afraid that the world's going to dry up. It'll dry up when God dries it up. God's in control of this. His word's not getting out of course, but they're trying to. Oh, they'd have you think they could, but they can't. But that's just the ecosystem. The most important part is the next verse. So shall my word be. It ain't going to change either. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. Remember what he said about the rain and the snow? And cometh not thither. It don't go back up. It does what it's supposed to do. It waters the earth. Listen, you can water your plants till you're blue in the face, but you'll never get the same results as the rain. You can go get water out of your faucet and think the city's got your water all clean and nice, all you want to, but I'll guarantee you, if you water with city water and I water with God's rain, I'm going to have a prettier garden than you are.
You don't garden.
It's just an illustration, Myla. You don't have to kick on me because I don't garden.
Well, neither do
I do water my roses. But he says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish. I want you to notice the pronoun now. It's my word. And it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in that thing whereunto I send it. Just like the rain and the snow does what it's supposed to do, so shall my word be. Folks, we have to understand the importance of this book. This is God's utterances. This is God's word. Now, over in Hebrews, he talks about the word again to show you the importance of the word. And he says this. He says, make sure, and I'm paraphrasing this verse now. He says, make sure that you don't fail to enter in to his rest. And then he says this. For the word, and the word for means because. So you make sure you get into the rest because, for this very reason. I'll put it that way. For this very reason. For the word of God is quick. Now everybody knows what quick means there, don't you? It's alive. This is, hey, you might think this is just a book, folks. This is live. It's alive. It gives you life. It promises life. He says the word of God is quick and powerful. Atom bomb is powerful. It can destroy a lot. Ask Sodom and Gomorrah about the word of God. What it can do in a lot less time. In fact, in Isaiah, he says, and in Romans chapter 9, we'll get to it. He says, because he quotes it back in Isaiah, he says, he's going to do it in a short space of time. He's going to make short work. That's the phrase. You know, used to we get in fights when we was growing up. You know, and if you picked on the wrong person, they'd say, well, he'll make short work of you. Normally, I was the one that got made short work of. I wasn't much of a fighter. But he says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing. Now, the two-edged means it's cutting you going in and cutting you coming out. In other words, going in, it'll save you. Coming out, it'll keep you. Huh? It cuts out the sin going in. It'll cut out what's bad in you coming out. It's a double-edged sword. He said, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even. Huh? No. Piercing even to the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow. And is a discerner. You don't know how powerful it is? I tell you what. Tell me what Helen's thinking right now.
I have no idea.
Okay. Tell me what Doris is thinking right now.
Nobody knows what Doris thinks. It's too hot.
Well, nobody knows what you're thinking either.
That's right. I like it that way.
And I like it that way.
Except.
God does.
This book does too. Mm-hmm. Says, not only does it separate the marrow and the joint. That you know what the marrow is? That's inside the bone, folks. They go in there and do that bone marrow. He says, but it is a discerner. It understands the thoughts. Not only the thoughts, but the intent of the heart. That's why we should get the book out, folks. That's why you shouldn't start your day without the book. I don't care if you're going to work. Take 5 minutes to get in the book. Let the book know your thoughts and intents so that it can get you straightened out before you go out. And then it follows that up by saying this, neither is there any creature that is not manifest unto him, nor anything that is not naked, exposed. Boy, and then here comes a word that you'd have never thought of. And opened unto him of which we have to do. You know what that word open means in the Greek? It's the only time it's used in the New Testament. It means to grab by the throat. To sacrifice and to slaughter. That's what happened to Pharaoh. Who is the Lord, he said. He didn't realize. The Lord got him by the throat and sacrificed him. Do you know why God sent his son? Listen, If you don't understand this, I can't help you. Do you know why God sent His Son? So He could take His hand off your throat. So that He didn't have to sacrifice you. He sacrificed His own Son. Bless God, that's how much He loved us. He was going to sacrifice you. He said, no, I'm going to take my hand off her throat. I'll kill my own son. That's who Pharaoh was dealing with, folks.
That's who we deal with.
Don't teach for me now. If you have children, they're lost. They have to understand God's going to, listen, God, I know we hear this stuff. Oh, God is loving us. Listen, I get that. But you better understand He's got His hand on your throat too. And you reject His Son one time too many. His Son's sacrifice won't help you. You'll be the sacrifice. God's going to get His sacrifice, folks. Don't you think for one second. God said there'll be a sacrifice for sin. Don't you think for one second that's going to get driven off course. Don't you listen to these people that have got God's love so twisted and turned. And listen, I know God's love. I believe in God's love. I'm a child of God because He loves. But bless God, before He saved me, His hand was right there ready to do it. Don't you remember Abraham and Isaac? I want you to take Isaac, your son, up. I want you to sacrifice him. Abraham said, I'll do it, Lord. I know you promised me a seed as the stars of heaven, but you told me to do it. I'll take him up or I'll put that knife to him. Because even if I do, you'll raise him up. Why? Because your word ain't going to get off course, honey. Listen, when we realize God's word ain't going to get off course, bless God, we can stand anything. We can stand pandemics. We can stand riots. We can stand all this hate, all this violence. Now, I've never seen so much hate. This had nothing to do with racism, folks. Don't you fall for that. It doesn't matter what color a person's skin is. If you know Jesus Christ, they're your brother and sister. You love them. It's the world that are racist. And I say, I know this is off track, but I get a little tired of being called one. And I know, bless God, I'm not. But I know that's how the world is. But they want God's word to get off course. Remember? And then He talks about the promise. You remember that? He came down and remember He said, this is the word of the promise. Remember that? He said, at this time shall I return. And what happened? And Sarah shall have a son. And then He comes down after Sarah, and then I got to quit. I wish I had more time, but I don't. He comes down after Sarah, and He gives another illustration. Sarah is an illustration of His promise. Rebecca is going to be an illustration of His election. Remember, I read to you in Isaiah where He says, I have chosen. You cut me off. I went off. Am I on? Sound like I went off. Oh, we're off. He comes down there and He talks about Rebekah. Now, you know Rebekah married Isaac. And it says, and Isaac was 40 years old. And Rebekah was childless or barren. And you know what Isaac did? He went down to the nearest health clinic. And he asked them about in vitro, is that right? Fertilization or something like that. If I got it wrong, I'm from Irwin. No, he didn't do that at all. You know what the Bible says he did? He entreated the Lord. Just like when Pam told me about her request. You know what I did? I entreated the Lord. I don't know anybody else to entreat, folks. I'm going to go to the one that's got all the power. So Isaac said, Lord, would you help Rebecca to have a child? She can't have a child. Sort of the same situation, just that they were young, because he's 40 then. And you know, a verse later, it says, and the Lord caused Rebecca to conceive and have a son. And you know what the next verse said? And Isaac was 60 years old when the two children were born. 20 years, brother. He had to wait 20 years on God. But he believed. Remember I told you about them people? Listen, if you believe with your whole heart, you're going to keep believing. If you fear with your whole heart, you're going to keep fearing. It didn't make any difference that it took 20 years for him. He believed God's going to give his little wife a child. You know what God did? He gave her two. Huh? Didn't work out too good, but that was God. He gave him to. He says, and then I'm done. I promise I'm done. He says, and while the children were yet in the womb, having done no good nor evil, it was said. Man, that's the word, folks. God said. I'll say it that way. And God said to Rebecca, the elder shall serve the younger. Well, that was against all tradition. I mean, the elder was had the birthright, and the younger served the elder. No, God makes the choices, folks. You're going to come back next week. I'm going to give you something you never thought of. And he says this. For the elder shall serve the younger.